Now we come to essay 10, entitled Die Gestalt des Menschen, The Form of Man. Rufsteiner starts. He says, if one places the previous considerations at our basis, then there yields itself for the human being the following in reference to his forming principles. It is presupposed of the existence of 1. A higher spiritual world. In this higher spiritual world, there exist those forces which form structures which present in independent stuff living sense experiences. In the higher world, there are forces which form structures which present living sense experiences within independent stuff. And into these structures there are imprinted the rudiments for the life organs. The rudiments for the life organs are imprinted into the structures which are formed by the forces which represent the living sense experiences. All this occurs in a higher spiritual world. Now, 2. Let us presuppose the existence of a lower spiritual world. And in this lower spiritual world, there exist the configurating forces of the life organs. Those forces which work in the first world form such structures which feed themselves out of the already made inward stuff. To the forces of this world itself, there add to them such which are first able to make inwardly, to inwardize the external stuff. This yields itself a difference between the difference of the life organs in the organs of Hervorbringung, replication, and nutrition organs. Those structures which are formed out of the first world are transformed as such rudiments for the sense organs which feed themselves of that stuff which has become made inward. The configurating forces of this world itself add to these sense rudiments such which stand in an interaction to the external stuff. So we talked about the higher spiritual world, secondly, the lower spiritual world. Now we talk about 3, the astral world. And in this astral world, there exist the configurating forces of the sense organs. However, the life organs out of this world must be so transformed that they can take into themselves the sense organs. So we have the higher spiritual world, the lower spiritual world, the astral world, and 4, the physical world. And in this physical world, there exist the sense experiences of man. Now you have to recognize that these 4 worlds work into each other. That also thus the forces of each higher world continues to continue to work into the lower worlds. Through the fact that the designated organs are led out of the forces of the higher worlds, can be said only that these organs are subject to the influences of the higher worlds, even if they appear in the lower worlds. Out of the physical world, the forces of the higher world do not work upon the sense organs. Out of the astral world, the forces of both spiritual worlds do not work upon the life organs. And now to the lower spiritual world, the forces of the higher spiritual world do not work upon the previously characterized rudiments of the life organs. Out of that we can deduce that out of the physical world, the forces of the higher worlds must show themselves active in a different way from when they work directly out of their world. The forces of the higher spiritual world are able to work upon the human being who is equipped with sense organs, life organs, and organ rudiments. These higher world forces can work upon the human being only as configurating forces. They can determine form and position of the organs. So there yields itself the form and position of the organs of the human body out of the workingness of the higher spiritual world into the physical. The ego experiences concepts in its concept perceptions. The life sense in its turned around way brings forth the living concepts of the higher spiritual world. In the physical world, they are able to work only as configurating forces. Nevertheless, it is certainly clear that man can thank his upright form for his capacity for concept perception. No earth being besides himself possesses the concept perception. No one possesses, in a similar way, the upright form. A superficial consideration can show that with animals which have apparently an upright form, this upright form is to be led back to something else other than inner forces. So one can, in the direction from below towards upwards, see those which are connected with the concept perception if the turned around life sense does not cooperate in working with it. Out of that, one can conclude a direction of from above towards below only for the turned around life sense. Still more correct it would be to say in a direction approximately from above to below. Because if one is to see something in the growth direction from below to above, then you ought to see that which is counterposed to the turned around touch sense. Insofar in the meaning of our previous considerations, the ego represents a contrast to the touch sense. One can regard the vertical growth direction of the body towards upwards as an ego carrier, as a continuous overcoming of the weight, which indeed represents a reversal of the touch experience. Out of all that, it can be so indicated upon a contrast of the above below and below above in the human body in such a way as if one stream occurs from below to above and that in the overcoming of the overcoming of this streaming which goes from below to above, when that stream which goes from below to above overcomes the stream which goes from above to below, then you can yield itself the turned around life sense. Now, in this turned around life sense, you must see the working in of the higher spiritual world upon the physical human body. And with that, you can say the following. The human body, insofar as it is an ego carrier, strives towards the above. The physical human body, insofar as it shows in its form the working of the higher spiritual world, that strives from above to below. Insofar as in a corporeal way the human being expresses the picture of a being belonging to the higher spiritual world, one can regard it out as a interpenetration of two directions of force, as the meeting of the ego body with the physical body. In his ego experience, man belongs to the physical external world. However, at the same time, he presents that which gives a picture of an experience which radiates back in itself. This is a picture of that which has been characterized as the itself-resting sense experiences of the higher spiritual world. In the body, insofar as it is an ego carrier, with that you must regard as a picture of the stuff in the process of making itself inward. Now, another contrast comes to appearance in the backwards front, front backwards. The sense organs with the nerves belonging to them present in the main organs which reveal their growth from front towards backwards. If you represent them to yourself, as is certainly justified, as growing in such a way that their configurating forces is counterposed to the primal original growth direction which emanates out of the lower spiritual world, then one has to seek in the direction from backwards to forwards for this latter direction. And then one will be able to say that in the end point towards backwards, in relationship to the human form, something is given which, in reference to the lower spiritual world, as with the conclusion from below towards above in connection with the higher spiritual world. Then, in the external configuration, their work from front towards backwards upon the life organs, those forces of the lower spiritual world which are not able to work upon the human being from out of the physical world. From backwards towards front, however, there work the forces of the lower spiritual world into the physical human world. In them, there expressed itself out that which one, in the sense of the previous consideration, is permitted to designate as the astral man. Insofar as the astral man shows itself in its bodily form, so strives from backwards towards the front as the physical human body strives upwards. The third contrast would be right-left, left-right. In the symmetry of the human form, in connection with this direction, there can be a pointing, one can point to the fact that the forces confront each other with an equal measure. Such a thing yields itself if one sees in these directions a working together of the human bodily form, insofar as this humanly bodily form has already configured itself out of the lower spiritual world, that out of the lower spiritual world it has already configured itself the life organs, you get there a working together with the configurating forces of the sense organs. Thus one would have in the left bodily half, half of the in frontwards directed man, you'd have the configurating forces of the astral world for the sense organs, insofar as these forces in the physical world do not work further direct further, so to conceive them that they work towards the right out of the left bodily half. Those forces of the astral world which so continue to work upon the bodily form that their working comes to expression in the bodily form, they then must work towards the left. Since now these forces already must work out of the lower spiritual world upon definite organs, so they will show themselves in a working towards inwards, just as the forces of the higher and lower spiritual world show themselves in their configuration towards outwards. In parenthesis, one can find what we have said here confirmed through anthropology in the lines of the path of the nerves which cross themselves in the organism. In parenthesis. This points to a permeation of the astral world with the ether body of man, insofar as this comes to expression in the bodily form. And so, one will be able to say the following. 1. The configuration of the physical human body is conditioned in the direction from above towards below out of the higher spiritual world. 2. The form of the human body, insofar as it is a carrier of the astral man, that points to the direction of from backwards to frontwards. 3. The form of the human body, insofar as it is a carrier of the life processes, that points to the direction right-left, as well as to the direction right-left. left, right. 4. The result of these configurations would then become the real physical human form. In order that this can come into existence, the indicated configurating forces must mutually permeate each other. Such a permeation can be perceived only if the human being so inserts himself into the physical world that the forces of the physical external world in the direction of right-left and left-right are so taken hold of by the forces of the astral world that in their forming, the possibility remains open now further to configure itself in the direction from backwards towards frontwards, and according to this determination, there remains open those coming from above towards below. Period. Since only if one conceives a direction in principle going from right to left and left to right, that direction going from left to right and right to left, a principal direction, if you conceive of that working in an all-sided way and then changed again in the direction towards front and then transformed again to drawn over, transformed towards upwards, if you conceive all that, then you can represent to yourself how something comes from above. In order that this, however, should yield the human form, there must be conceived of existing for these forces other forces out of the physical world which are counterposed to them. These then are those which show themselves as no longer working out of the physical world, as has been above characterized, but working directly, forces working directly out of the higher worlds. These latter forces working directly out of the higher worlds are alone, you have to seek them alone in the physical rudiments of the human being. To these others, man enters into connection with these others as such a, only as such a rudiment. If with that, in the physical world, you want to seek the pointing of the human being to higher worlds, so you're not permitted to focus your attention on the life processes and their connection with the organs, nor are you permitted to focus upon the life of the sense organs, nor are you permitted to focus upon his brain, upon the brain, but alone, single alone, upon the how, upon the form of the bodily gestalt and its organs. It's on this how, the how of it, can show itself that still in the physical human being there can be perceived the pointing towards the spiritual world. Now in parenthesis, the difference between man and the animal in connection with the higher worlds hence can yield itself out of a consideration of the bodily form in so far as the animal is ordered in another kind of direction in space. This different ordering in space, however, reveals itself that the higher worlds work differently upon the human being and differently upon the animal. End parenthesis. The anthroposophical considerations can be made fruitful if one applies the already given considerations upon the particular details of the human bodily form. Then there will be a complete harmony with anthropological observations. The indication as to how in the hearing organ, in the sight organ, etc., you can regard them as transformations of organ rudiments which are in their rudimentary stage, or the taste organ can be regarded as a turned around smell organ, from that you can get ideas which can again be found in the form of the organs. The unsymmetrical organs will be understood if you so grasp them in such a way that their forms have been built in such a way that the left-right and right-left working forces of the astral world are able to be excluded. If one sees, as has occurs above, a reversal of the sense organs, a turning towards inwards of the sense organs, so one also will be able to admit that the transformation also can be conditioned through other principles. Take, for example, the hearing organ. The hearing organ was brought into connection with the sense of equilibrium. One can then conceive that the activity which reveals itself in the equilibrium sense diverts away a organ rudiment which is not differentiated to the hearing organ towards inward. It diverts away that organ rudiment from its original direction of formation. The sound sense would then come to existence if another activity directs itself upon the corresponding organ rudiment. This can be brought into connection with the experience of one's own motion sense. And with that, there would be a light thrown upon the fact that the hearing organ comes to expression in an organ which is turned itself towards external stuff. The sound organ, however, is externally not perceptible. It corresponds the experience of the one's own motion sense corresponds to the bodily inwardness. The experience of the equilibrium sense comes to expression in the connections of the external space directions. Accordingly, one can designate the sound organ as a hearing organ which has been held back in the inner of the body. For the ego experience itself, there is no corresponding sense experience. There doesn't come into consideration a special organ, but only a striving of the other organ rudiments towards the above. So there can be seen in the sound organ and the concept organ structures whose physical form is determined through their tendency, through their inclination towards the ego experience. One can now, in that of which the body participates as a carrier of the ego, you can recognize as a carrier of the ego from inwards, outwards, you can recognize its reversal in the formative forces. And you can say that if the body is again transformed backwards, zurückgestaltet, conformed backwards as the carrier of the organ, a carrier of the ego, say the body as the carrier of the organ, no, the body as a carrier of the ego, again changes backwards an organ, so one must, in its formation, recognize the particular nature of the structure of the higher spiritual world. Such an organ is the speech organ, the larynx. If one can designate the series of organs, ear, sound sense, concept sense, as a continuous making inwards in a corporeal way, so one can recognize in the speech organ the turned around sense of sound. The sound does not become sense experience, which towards inwards, towards the ego, strives through an organ, but the sound is something which rests in itself, creating a sense content, a real turned around sense experience. And the formation of the larynx corresponds exactly to these conditionings. One can then look for an organ which corresponds in the human being a capacity which stands between speaking and the ego, as understanding stands between hearing and the ego. And through this, there must yield itself out of the human being something which is not so poor in content as the ego experience, and still does not flow over directly in its revelations into the external world. It would be that particular organ in the brain of man which corresponds to the capacity for fantasy. One will gradually be able to distinguish in the brain between the concept organ and the fantasy organ. Since the configurating forces of the three higher worlds, there's an, as it were, an after echo of these three higher worlds in the form of the physical human body, so there must also be recognized that the formative forces of the both higher spiritual worlds are able to work upon the astral body directly out of the astral world. And finally, that already in the rudiments of the life organs, as they are out of the lower spiritual worlds, there stream directly workings from out of the higher spiritual world. Under consideration of such forces, there can yield itself the form and position of the heart organ, of the breathing organ, of the circulation organ, of the muscle system, and the bone system, etc. In the bodily form of man, within the physical world, there manifests itself that its development is not, doesn't follow merely an adaptation to relationships which are foreign to the inner human being, but this form ultimately expresses itself in the picture of which is the character of the ego. The development rudiment of the human being, the rudiments of the development of the evolution of the human being must be so conceived that in its out configuration there is given points of attachment for forces of the higher worlds. In the sense quality world, there are given for perception only the content of the sensations which the ego, when it perceives itself, confronts itself as a sensation image. However, sensation image belongs to the astral world. In the self-experience of the ego, with that there stands the sensation image, as it were, free in space. In connection with the taste sense, there has showed itself that in the tense, the taste sense can be regarded as a reversed smell sense. If now it is not conceived, wenn nun nicht gedacht wird, if you do not now think that the rebounding, the impacting of the stuff is in the smell sense, if you don't realize, if you don't think that the smell sense results from the rebounding of stuff in the smell sense and thus causes the sensation, but if you conceive that the smell experience itself is as self a component of the ego in self experience of the ego, so one can, in a desiring or in a motion impulse, see the answer of see in the motion impulse of the astral ego, the answer of in the of this ego to something which proceeds from stuff without being incorporated in the ego through a physical mediation. What a bleeding sentence. Behind the smell experience, there sticks itself, besides that which is picture experience, there sticks itself the astral counterworking against the desiring and the motion impulse of the ego. Within sound, one can clearly distinguish that which separates itself from the external object, from that which can be perceived in this object through other senses as the hearing sense. And this which is separated is the self-experience of the ego. One can quite certainly say that when an object is heard, then you hear only the sound-stimulating object of a world which in which the ego is not within, in which it cannot identify itself with the sense experience. In one's own motion sense will be perceived the position and the form variation of one's own organism. With this own motion sense, there exists close the idea that besides the self-experience of the ego, all you need to is assume only an astral counterworking upon a moving motion impulse. When now in the physical world, nothing other than sense experiences lie before us, so there can also in this world be spoken of nothing other than of sense experiences. Since, however, a physical body must have sense organs in order to be able to have sense experiences, so there yields itself in this physical world for the human being nothing other than sense experiences and the ego perception of the astral image experience. The ego has no other possibility than to experience as objects of the external world, and with that to be able to find combinations of the sense experiences in the most differentiated way. What there exists is thus nothing other than a free in space soaring of sense experiences. However, one presupposes that the human form as such is not without significance, but it is called upon to, so that the important point is in what direction and position one organ relates itself to another organ. And one takes heed of also from this direction, also from this point of view regarding the physical world. Then is it essential that the taste organ is a turned around smell organ, since if one thinks of the smell organ as it is, as a sensation image, without disregarding the stuff itself as filling space, to disregard the capacity of this experience to present itself so as an image sensation, as the ego perception is itself in free soaring in space sensation image, if all this so bloody complicated thing, which we have to be a genius to understand, Rick Mansell speaking, if all that is true, so it must be recognized that you're dealing here with something. If of the human form an object is so turned to the surface that once, in order to maintain that image sensation proceeding from it, that one sense organ or the other must be turned towards it. I'm going to speak directly to Rudolf Steiner wherever you are. How can you expect, Rudolf Steiner, any normal human being to take such a long sentence with these suppositions, if this, if this, if this, if that, then there's so this, so this, and that. What do you expect? We're not geniuses like you. Why present ideas like that? We're ordinary human beings. You should have cut this bloody long sentence up into just single portions and then put together, after we have understood the single portions of your ideas, then you can put them together. Rudolf Steiner, I'm surprised at you. I'll try again on this long sentence. If now one conceives the smell experience as it is, you conceive it as a image, a sensation image, without denying the stuff itself as filling space, without denying from this stuff which fills space the capacity of so presenting this experience as a sensation image, as the ego perception is a sensation image freely soaring in space, so it must be recognized that we're dealing here with something. The important point is, if of the human form an object can so be turned to the surface that once, in order to maintain the sensation imaging image proceeding from it, that one sense organ or another sense organ must be turned towards it. Well, I'm still confused. Anyway, let's continue to the manuscript. If, however, not only that ego perception which is found in the physical world, if that, not only that, grasp the ego, comprise the ego, but this ego in its essential nature, in its bodily form, would so be at the basis that all its image experiences could be experienced as its own, so there would be in this ego, once, the sensation image of the smell at one time, another time it would be the taste as a self-experience of the ego. If one has to do now with the finished, not if you hadn't concerned yourself now with the finished, if you're not dealing now not with the finished, but with the bodily form in the process of formation, so there would not be any ego perception. And the self-experience of the ego would have to be quite different. Here ends this essay, which I understood almost nothing at all. Maybe you who are listening to it might have got something out of it. I get nothing at all except internal aggravation. What is Steiner's style? The way he says, if so and 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 so, then so and 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 so. Here ends essay 10 from Anthroposophy, a fragment out of the year 1910, entitled The Form of the Human Being. This is followed by the last, which he calls the Anhang, the supplement. End of tape.